listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono.
Places, everyone, places!
Welcome back, everybody. This is Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. I am your host, psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. Now, I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm just a psychotherapist. All right. I thought that was funny. Not funny?
Right. No, it was funny.
Okay. I'm here in the studio today with my new radio show producer, because I needed some help. give yourself a round of applause with that button right
okay.
There. This is my fiance and my producer,
yes,
Jill Bennett.
That's me. Okay.
That was very good.
It was short.
Get those people out of here.
Yes.
So I'm here with Jill right now. A little bit later, we have joining us today, and I'm so excited to say, because she's such a lovely person, we have the wonderful and amazing Sheena Metal.
Yes, I'm very excited about Sheena.
Who's going to be with us in just a minute.
I always love talking with her.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's awesome is you and I are going to be on Sheena's show later today.
It's kind of crazy.
So if you're just logged into LA Talk Radio today, stick around, because at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
We will be with Sheena. Her show starts at 5. So, all right, so where do we begin, honey?
Well.
Tell me what to do. Produce me.
You have a sheet right in front of you, sweetheart.
Oh, right. Okay. So, so we're back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. We meant to be here last week, you guys, but here's the thing. We went to Big Bear with a group of people, and one of those people brought with them some sort of little stomach bug, and then was just really generous and started handing it around to everybody in the group.
Yeah.
It was ugly. It was not a pretty thing. And we woke up on Tuesday morning, and mm-hmm. little Jilly had it.
I did. It got me. The zombies got me, as you said.
Yeah, I felt, I kept saying, I just feel like I'm sitting here waiting for the zombies to come and get me. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do.
And I waited all day, and they didn't fully get me, but I was not feeling well. It was not fun.
No, you weren't. I just stayed home and took care of you and patted you on the head.
Yes.
Treated you like a little baby puppy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was waiting for the zombies, and they never came to get me. I was so, so happy, because I feel like I can tolerate a lot of physical pain. Like, most things don't bother me. I've had 6 orthopedic surgeries, and they never frighten me. You know, they're painful, whatever, I deal with it. But talk about nausea, and I want to run for the hills.
Yeah, Kathy doesn't let anyone drive but her, because she gets motion sickness, so she always has to drive.
Yeah, and you know, it's not always been that way.
I know.
It really just sort of got that way in the last, 5-10 years or something in my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, if I'm not in the driver's seat,
Maybe that means
a puke fest.
What does that mean, though? Does that
Don't
mean
Don't try to get at
more?
Control issues. It doesn't mean anything, except that I need to take Dramamine.
You always have to drive. What does that say? I don't know.
That
Maybe
says
we
that
explore.
I'm the boss.
All right.
What that says.
Okay.
All right. So, honey, I want to talk about what happened in football this weekend. I hope there's people out there who watched football. I want to give folks the number, because they might want to call in and weigh in on this. The number is 818-602-4929. But if you're a football fan like Jill and I think officially this year I get my official cap as a standalone football fan.
Oh, yeah.
I think for the last 3 years I was Jill's girlfriend learning to be a football fan. But
now
actually,
you have an identity.
It actually took. It mm-hmm. actually took. And I actually found myself emotionally involved in a game for the first time. It was a couple weeks ago when the Packers lost.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've grown to be a Packers fan. I love Aaron Rodgers. I love the Packers. I'm also a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Jets are gone now. So
yeah, the Jets didn't play so well.
No, but I got emotionally involved when the Packers lost, and I was like, look at me. I actually give a crap about football.
I know. Now you're just, well, see, that's what was interesting about this week, is that there were two, playoff games, and it got heated.
So, all right, quickly. The Ravens played the Patriots, and the Patriots won. And the 49ers played
the Giants.
The Giants, thank you. And the Giants won. I was like blank. Nothing was happening. And they both games came down to the kicker. Both games.
Well, kind of. One of the in a sense, yes, it came down to the kicker, because the second game, the Giants was won by a field goal. But what made that game controversial, or what ended up becoming controversial, is that their punt returner fumbled twice in the game. The 49ers did. And
he's now getting death threats.
He's getting death threats on Twitter.
Now, what is going on in the world when people... okay, like I said, I had my first experience of becoming emotionally involved with my team.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly cannot imagine a day where I want to kill somebody because they lost a game. Or where I would actually publicly make a death threat.
Well, I wouldn't publicly make a death threat, but I have felt that way before.
Yes, I know, honey. I try to block that out.
No, I know. But let me just explain something. When you're a football fan and you really care about your team, and for some reason, and I wanted, you know, it's interesting to try to figure out why we get this involved with it, but there was a few years back when the Colts were in the playoffs and they were playing the Steelers, and we had to kick a field goal in order to tie the game to go into overtime.
Look at this, you guys. It's years ago. She can tell the story. Go on.
No, because I got thrown out of a bar.
So, oh, my little wild stupid
So cobra. All this crazy stuff happens. We get the ball back, and we have the opportunity to kick a field goal to go into overtime. And I say, and it cursed it, Vanderjack never misses. And that was our kicker at the time. That jerk missed.
So you think that you somehow affected the wavelengths of the universe with your comment in a way that he missed it?
No, I don't think I did it. But my point is, when he missed it, I was infuriated. Like, I threw my glass across the room. I was escorted out.
Well, I can see it's easy to think about. Like, here's a man getting paid God knows how many millions of dollars a year to do nothing but kick that ball through that field goal.
That's his job, and he makes millions
yeah, but
of
if
dollars.
If you think about it, all right, no human being is infallible, right? Nobody is infallible.
Oh, but you're
just hold on. Even the people with the best records and the best statistics in the world, they still have something on the second half of that page. They have the good numbers, and they have the numbers where they failed, right? So the poor guy is going to miss kicks from time to time.
Yes, but you
imagine?
Don't miss them during the playoffs.
Yeah, but sometimes you do.
Yes, but then you suck and people get mad and they want to kill you.
But does he suck? Like, what's his record?
I don't care.
But see, that's the difference.
See, but you're more emotionally balanced than I am. I'm not defending death threats.
She
I'm not saying
it.
That it's okay, but I'm saying I understand the passion of a fan in that moment when you're like, we could have gone to the Super Bowl and you missed the one thing that
listen,
you do.
I'm an athlete. I'm an athlete inherently in my blood. And I was an extremely competitive player. But I never had that, if you beat me fair and square, if you were just better than me, I might be pissed off and disappointed, but I never had that I need to kill you thing. Or if someone made a mistake, if they were a decent player and they had a decent track record and they made a mistake in a clinch, I always was able to be like, I feel you.
Okay, but
because we're not perfect.
No, I know. But think about it this way. Not defending death threats, but season ticket holders of football, we're talking people spend thousands of dollars to go watch these athletes play, not only for the tickets, but for the parking and the food and all the fanfare.
Isn't that what makes it exciting?
Yes, that's what makes
it
exciting, but I'm saying that's why people get so wrapped up in it, because it's like we structure our entire weekends around football.
Okay, sure, get wrapped up in it, but okay, this tweet that you have printed out here, and I'm going to call out, I don't know if Kyle is a man or a woman, I'm going to call you out, Kyle. Kyle Williams underscore 10 on Twitter tweets, I hope you, your wife, and your family die. You deserve it. And this was retweeted hundreds of times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's not only crazy, but hundreds of people got on the bandwagon.
Yeah, because people were that upset because they wanted to get into the play. Now, Billy Cundiff missed his, when he missed that field goal for the Ravens. He plays for the Ravens.
I was
like,
so bad for him.
I was like, dude, you're fired. Like, you just lost your job. Everyone's going to hate you. Like, you just blew it.
Yeah. Now, see, even that I can understand. Like, if I'm the person who owns that organization, I'm going to wonder, all right, I need a guy in the clinch whose track record in the clinch is spotless and amazing.
Right.
And maybe Billy Cundiff isn't that guy. And my heart went out to him. Because like I said, I've been an athlete my whole life, and I know the pressure of that moment. And I'm sure he is at home. If he's not buried in a bottle of whiskey, he's, you know, that's been on his mind. Trust me.
Yeah.
He's going to spend the next year trying to figure out how to climb out from underneath the depression of that moment.
Well, in the meantime, it's going to be the Patriots, whom I hate, versus the Giants, who I like. So I am going to be rooting for the Giants, and I'm a little excited because it's Eli Manning, the little brother.
I'm going to have to root for the Giants, too. Looking at the choices, I have to. Eli's a sweetheart. It's New York. I'm from New York. Why not just jump on that bandwagon and go with it?
I like that bandwagon.
I like that bandwagon. The number is 818-602-4929. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to have with us radio show host extraordinaire. She also wears a million other hats. It's Sheena Metal. She'll be with us right after the break.
Whee!
Stay tuned.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
They see me glow. And everybody calls it insanity. Getting wrapped up in someone like you. It's impossible and it'll never work, they say. Still I glow.
Hello, everyone. We're back. That was just a little bit of Glow by Jen Corday. I like the groove of that song. You like that song, honey?
I like that song. I like everything Jen Corday does.
Yeah, Jen's pretty fun. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the studio the lovely Sheena Metal.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Yay!
Wow.
Yeah.
Stadium full of people.
Wow, I like your studio audience.
Yeah. And then they stop clapping immediately.
Yeah, right. Well, they're very well behaved.
Yes, they are.
They follow that little, you know,
yeah,
sign.
The light up hand.
The light up hand.
Yes, no.
Stop and stop. You guys, I'm sure a lot of you out there already know who Sheena is, but I just want to read you a little list of the hats that our friend Sheena Metal wears.
It's crazy.
I've known Sheena for a little bit now, and I went to her website yesterday. I was like, let me just read up on what Sheena's doing these days. And I could not remember all of it. Well, I know that's not a surprise to most people. I can't remember a lot of things, but I was shocked. I was amazed at the... I knew you wore a lot of hats, but I was like, Jesus Christmas.
I have a hat collection.
You do. Check this out, guys. Actor, stand-up comedian, producer, music promoter, cable access TV shows, hosting a new paranormal and political radio show, has been called Queen of Nighttime World. That I need a little explanation on.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not as exciting as it sounds.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Wearing all of these hats. Uh-huh. Your career's been a long one. Uh-huh. And you've been wearing all of these hats throughout the whole career.
Yeah, I guess. I add. I mean, I started out as an actor, and then
But you keep adding hats. You never take the
other I never ones take away. Hats off. No. Hats sometimes take a rest in the closet for a while, but they come back.
Yeah. I would imagine they'd have to. I mean, how do you keep your focus? How do you actually ever get anything done? Because I'm finding with the new year and with the birth of this new radio show and my practice online, and, you know, I'm an actor. I also love directing. I have some things that I do.
So those are all your hats.
Those are my hats, but I've had to decide. I've had to make a decision. You know, I've had to be like, let me put my focus on a particular hat. Otherwise, I just kind of, it's hard to get anything done. And you've had a career where you've gotten so much done, and you're so revered. And I just wonder how you do it.
You know, I think one hat at a time. You know, some days you wear one hat for a while, then you finish a project, then it's time to wear something else. And it just depends. You know, I believe very strongly in the energy of saying yes. And I think if you sort of leave yourself open and you just kind of say yes to things as they come, you know, the chances that somebody's going to shoot every hat at you at one time and you're going to have to catch them all, then this business, it doesn't happen.
Right.
You have one thing, then you have another thing, then you have something else. The only real consistency in my life is that I'm on the air 15 hours a week here at LA Talk Radio.
And that's amazing.
I don't waver from that. Occasionally, I miss a show for something really, really special, like when two of my friends get engaged. But that's about it. I mean, mostly, no matter what, I'm absolutely here always. And unless I'm working on something else. Like I missed a show for a TV show that I taped and, you know, stuff like that.
But missed a show to be at our engagement.
I did. Yeah. The first show I ever missed.
Oh, Sheena.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, we can't talk about the engagement just yet, and there's reasons for that.
But it was awesome.
And you know, listeners, we will tell you those reasons, and we will let you in on it. It's reasons that are bigger than us, and so we can't tell you.
But I was telling you to take a little side note on that. On the way here, I was saying how you had to be there. Like, there's just something, like, when we first met you,
right.
and I was like, you know, we don't know Sheena that well personally yet. But I felt like you were one of those people that you just had to be there.
It's awesome. I'm so thrilled that I was asked to be there.
You're like, one of our people.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel the same way about you guys.
I can't wait to talk about that day with everyone. I can't wait till we can all get together and talk about it. But that's for another time.
Yes.
I need you to tell me, queen of the nighttime world.
Okay.
There's got to be a story there.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it happened. I was doing an AM talk radio show. And well, I'll even go back farther. I was doing a public access television show that was about to get picked up by a production company and then didn't because of the Northridge earthquake that literally destroyed their facility and put everything the company was doing on hold. So I got a call from a friend of mine who also did a public access show who had ventured into radio. And he said, I've got this AM radio show at 3:00 in the morning. And I have a new girlfriend and she's not too happy about the fact that I'm gone every weekend in the middle of the night. Do you want it? And I said, yeah. Okay. I didn't know anything about radio. So I went down. I called a couple of friends and asked them to come and co-host with me. And we went down to the station and I called some people and said, hey, I'm going to be on the radio. If you're interested, call in. And the phone lines were packed. And it was really kind of one of those lightning bolt moments where I thought, oh, this is what I do. Wow. Who knew? Because I didn't grow up wanting to be on the radio. Or
this was a middle of the night show?
Yeah. 3:00 in the morning, Sunday morning.
Wow.
And we did an hour. And the station called me the next day and said, yeah, we're going to give you 2 hours. And I thought, okay. So I did that for 3.5
years.
Were
the callers all drunk? I got to know.
Sure. I come from a music background. Who even knows? Everybody I know is drunk during the day, at night. Yeah, sure. It was a lot of craziness. And so I had wanted very much to be on KLSX when it had gone from being Stern in the Morning and Classic Rock to FM Talk. I loved the idea of FM Talk. And by then had switched my show from less music to more talk and decided that talk radio was really where I wanted to go, but not that kind of AM politico talk.
Right.
So I was having no luck at all getting through to the station, and there was a brand new late night show, and the host name was The Nasty Man, and he liked to have bands come in and play live, and he wanted all these crazy bands, and I front a comedy theatrical band called Beer Bong, and I thought, well, this sounds like right up the Nasty Man's alley. So I pitched his producer, and although I could not get on this station as a guest, they invited my band in. And we came in, he and I hit it off, and long story short, a couple of weeks later, he asked me to be his co-host.
Now, do you play an instrument?
I played music first. That was the first thing I did. Guitar, piano, clarinet. But I'm just trying now to get back into it. I fell in love with musical theater when I was in a teenager and stopped. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I could have been like 27
so
rock band.
You sing.
I sing and I write, yeah.
Ooh, I want to hear her sing.
I do too.
Not that great.
I want to see Sheena
good for comedy
do
band.
Stand up while she's acting and singing and promoting a band on the radio.
Yes.
Well, my band is kind of all those things together. It's a little stand up, a little music. I do promote my own band from the stage, and I'm also acting. So
you're close.
You
need to do is throw in a joke, and you got the stand up happening.
Right.
I'm sure that does happen anyway. We have a caller on the line. Welcome to Kathy Is In. You're on the line with me and Sheena and my lovely fiance, Jill.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's calling?
I'm okay. It's Alice from Massachusetts.
Hey, so, Alice.
Hi, Alice.
You have a question?
Hi. Actually, I have a few. One, hi, Jill.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember me. You tweeted at me a while ago. Anyway.
Perhaps.
So I'm actually... I'm up and coming, and I'm going to be going out to L.A. soon, and I'm getting a record deal, actually, and I was just...
Are you trying to hook up with Sheena? Are you trying to get Sheena to promote?
Is that what this is?
I think he's trying to hook up with a record deal.
Get down to your bottom line.
No, I have one, so it's okay.
Uh-huh.
What the hell? Sorry.
Alice, are you stoned?
I was... What? Stop laughing at me. Anyway, I was just wondering for advice about the whole business.
Well, Sheena can help you with that.
Yeah, sure I can. Absolutely. You're a musician. You sing and play something, Alice?
Yes, she does.
Okay, Alice. This
she's
is
got a record deal, she says.
And that's good. You know what? Just like I said, the power is saying yes. Come out here and say yes to things. And do as much as you can. Get out as much as you can. Play as much as you can. Let people see you. Like the same road with you guys as actors. It's the same thing. Nobody knows how talented you are if nobody can see you.
Right. Yeah, you got to get out there and do stuff.
And a lot of musicians, I think, have that kind of personality where they tend to sort of hole off and I'm working on my CD in my studio and, right. and then they don't come out for 5 years and nobody right. even knows right. you're there.
Yeah. Exactly.
If nobody knows you're there, then yeah. no one's going to know you're there.
Yeah, true. I had to do that. The whole just say yes to things as they come. I mean, that's... You have to choose what you're going to chase every day and what you're going to put your focus on every
Absolutely.
Day and then just be open to the rest. And that's kind of what I'm going to...
You're big on focus.
What I'm going to do. I'm big on focus.
You love focus.
I have to.
Yeah.
If I don't focus, I start floating around in the ether somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. It's to me, like when I looked at your big list of everything and I know like with Kathy, something that we as a couple, you know, when we were working together, I'm like, gosh, you have so many interests, you know, and I have a lot of interests too, but like I don't love them so much to the point where I want to pursue them. And like, she's been spending a lot of time writing lately and it's something she's very into. And I'm like, okay, can you do all that? Are you able to pursue all these different roads in life and still stay focused enough on, you know what I'm saying? To put enough energy
you
into
know,
something.
A while ago, and sometimes, and she and I have talked about this, sometimes in the night, if I'm meditating or, you know, you zone out, when I go alone, when I'm alone and I go into the night or into the dark and it's quiet and the energy is different, you know, inspiration will come and I'll either want to write something or I'll think
sure.
of something. And it seems to always happen late at night for some reason. And sometimes if I have a pen or a pencil in my hand, I will automatically write something down. And I'm not really sure where it comes from. I'm sure it comes from the unconscious. I'm sure it comes from, it's just that quiet inspiration that you get to hear when
sure.
you're...
Or it's a universal channel.
Yeah, when you shut up and you listen.
Sure.
And a long time ago, someone said, what I wrote was, to be successful in this life requires a schedule. And I looked at it and got, harumph. I don't like schedules.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, they bother me. I like to just follow my whimsy.
Yeah, I don't like schedules much either.
It doesn't work.
But radio keeps you on a schedule.
Yeah,
and
that
takes care of that. I know it, when the mic goes hot every day, I've got to be here.
And honestly, it's fun to go out there and be on, you know, in your whimsy. But then when you have a schedule and you actually see things getting done, it's far more satisfying.
Hmm.
So we need to go to a break, don't we, honey?
We do.
All right.
Look at that schedule.
And there's that schedule.
Let's take a little break. We will be right back.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
Could appear in a few floors.
That's Saucy Monkey with No One's Here.
Sorry for that bad fade. I'm learning.
I think it's beautiful. It was a beautiful thing.
It was a fade.
I love Saucy Monkey.
It was a, yes. a fade to an stop.
A fade to a stop.
A fade to an abrupt stop. Sure. Sure. Why not?
All right.
What, honey?
I have this thing.
Yeah?
I have, and I've always had this thing. I would give you the little symbol crash, but I don't know where it is on the screen, so I'm not going to look for it.
All right. Keep talking.
Okay. So I have this thing where I look.
Yes, yeah. Because that was appropriately timed.
The secret to comedy.
Yeah, nice.
Timing. I have this thing where I love to read about studies. Like, the newest study says da-da-da-da-da.
Right, right.
Because it's always based, obviously, any study that's done by a university or whatever is scientific in nature. But then the other side of it is, how do we interpret this study? And what does it mean? And I've always had this... I always find them fascinating. Whenever I see articles about there was this study that was done on this and that, and a lot of it I notice, not always, but this is particular, like, to you, I think, because I think we've talked about this before, is like the nature versus nurture part of who we are as human beings.
Sure.
So there's a lot of the studies seem to prove that it's nature, but then the analysis of it then comes down to...
you can't ever separate it. There's the bottom line to that question.
Yeah. Next. Okay.
I'm kidding. I just don't, I really believe that you can't separate it, and I think everybody's nature and nurture are, they get them in different doses as well.
Certainly. Well, okay, so here's a study that I found really, that I found yesterday that I thought was really interesting.
Okay.
There's going to be a little reading here. I'm going to let you stop and interpret. This is from Science Daily. Research has found that small group dynamics such as jury deliberations, collective bargaining sessions, and cocktail parties can alter the expression of IQ.
Sure, that's the booze.
So you lose IQ points from doing jury duty. I thought that all along.
Yeah, kind of.
And cocktail parties.
Yeah.
That's the booze.
That's definitely right.
How did they do that? What do you mean they lose IQ points? Were they at a cocktail party? They walked around with
multiple choice exam? Let me further explain. Okay. Scientists at Virginia Tech used functional MRI to investigate how the brain processes information about social status in small groups. The researchers recruited subjects from two universities and administered a standard test to establish baseline IQ. The results were not viewed until after a series of ranked group IQ tasks during which test takers in groups of five received information about how their performances compared to those other people. So does that all make sense?
Sure.
Does it really?
Yeah. Sure.
You guys are good. Okay, listen.
What's the question?
Just wait a second.
All right.
He has to find out the results.
Okay. Although the test subjects had similar baseline IQ scores, a mean of 126, which is relatively high, sure, compared to the national average of 100, they showed a range of test performance results after the ranked group IQ tests, revealing that some individuals' expressed IQ was affected by signals about their status within a small group. Does that make sense?
It does. I have a comment already.
Oh,
may
so people's
it?
IQs were influenced by what kind of person they think they are in society.
Exactly.
So if I think I'm dumb because I went to a cocktail party with a bunch of PhDs, they made me feel dumb, I lowered my own IQ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Can you turn this up a little? Because I don't really hear it. Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
My thought process around this, I'm picturing this happening, and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm alone or any human is alone in a room, the way you're tuned into your environment is going to be very different than if you're in a room with your social cronies that, I mean, unconsciously, we are social animals, period. We are afraid to be alone. We don't want to be alone. We want to be coupled up. We want our alone time. Don't get me wrong. But ultimately, nobody wants to be the last person here after the apocalypse. Like, that's terrifying to us. And I think it goes into the fear of dying. Dying is that whole fear of being alone. And it's all really unconscious. I don't think we ever think about these things. But when we're in a group of people, whether it's a jury duty or a cocktail party, I think our survival tools switch to how to fit into the pack rather than IQ sorts of ways of functioning. So I think if we're engaged in how to survive and fit into the pack, we're less engaged in, I don't know, those sorts of things you use to measure an IQ, like math or intellectual functioning. That's my take on it.
My take is that your IQ probably almost never changes unless you have some kind of brain damage. I mean, it really is something you come out of the womb with, which is why I think groups like Mensa are kind of silly, because if you take a test for Mensa, it's applied calculus and trigonometry and things that know. I mean, everybody
what,
who has
what, you speak in French?
Right, yeah. Everybody who has an IQ test, for it to be accurate, should be before they even enter school, because it's applied, it's what you know and not what you've learned.
Right.
So I don't think your IQ would change no matter what.
It's how you intellectually break down information.
It's how you can understand.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not what you know.
Right.
Because somebody could totally fake an IQ test just by taking a bunch of classes and learning about
right.
things.
And you can have a really high IQ but a terrible education. So you're just not, there's certain things, book fact things that you're not going to know.
Absolutely. Right. A lot of people with really, really high IQs are sitting outside Ralph's with a tinfoil hat talking to God.
Yes, right. It's true.
Flunked out of, not even with high school diplomas. I mean, flunked out of everything.
Did you see me? I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were really mad at Jesus.
I was. I have some issues with that anymore.
So basically, the bottom line of this study, what it's saying is that when you're sitting in a room by yourself and you take an IQ test, you're going to get one score. But when you are in a group of people who are at your same intellectual level, you immediately, depending on who you are, because that's the second part of the results that we haven't talked about, your IQ, your perceived IQ goes down.
I'm going to say that ego stability and security issues come into the mix, because if you're a super secure person, you're going to have less of your energy and brain power at work in a social situation than someone who's maybe a little more insecure and concerned about fitting in. More of their brain power is going to be vibing on that room and how to survive it and how to fit in and how to be accepted.
Well, I also think that unless you fit right in the middle, and a friend of mine is writing a book right now about homeschooling, and I just ran into her at a party the other night. We were talking about how public school is fantastic if you fit right in the middle. But if you're below the curve or above the curve, then you're either working really hard to get to the middle or dummying down to get to the middle.
Right.
So I would think in a focus group of IQ testing, like Jill was talking about, probably the people that would excel faster would slow themselves down to fit with the group.
Right.
And somebody who would be a little behind would be working really hard to catch up, because
right.
the idea is to be median, 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 stay in the middle.
Stay in the middle, because that's where the most people are. That's where the average is. That's where the norm is. That's where we're not alone.
And that's what our society encourages.
Right.
Just be like everybody else. Just be like everybody else.
Yeah. And existentially, because that's where I tend to go. We're not alone in the middle.
And what's interesting is that these people are literally exactly the same as far as IQ. They
right.
all had the same IQ
right.
in reality. But when you put them together and they started comparing themselves to one another, and here's where the second part of the results come out. It says neither age nor ethnicity showed a significant correlation with performance. A significant pattern did emerge along gender lines. Although male and female...
Well, the women were smarter.
No.
Oh.
Although male and female participants had the same baseline IQ, significantly fewer women, 3 of 13, were in the high-performing group, and significantly more, 10 of 13, fell into the low-performing group.
Right. Yeah.
Women.
To fit in.
Yeah, I think that still fits.
No boys like you if you're smart.
Right. Right.
Man, and it's
I
not,
think women,
nobody likes you, period, really,
I think
if you're smart.
Women have an even bigger fear of not fitting into the group than the men do. The men have that sort of, seek and conquer attitude, and the women are the community makers.
Right. Well, and men are supposed to be smart, and girls are supposed to be pretty.
Right.
Yeah.
That's that median, median, median thing.
I like when girls are smart and pretty.
Well,
don't we all?
Yes.
But I just think the implications of this study, as far as the scientists were concerned, and of course this sounds like something like duh, we already knew this, but what the scientists then started discussing is how much are we missing out by not addressing this reality of life? Like, one of the quotes was, so much of our society is organized around small groups interactions. Understanding how brains respond to dynamic social situations is an important area of future research. We need to remember that social dynamics affect not just educational and workplace environments, but also national and international policymaking bodies such as Congress and the United Nations. So they're saying that this type of dynamic, we are, in essence, by not addressing it, women are being left out of the most important circles that we have in life. And I said to...
By not addressing what exactly?
By not addressing that this effect has on women.
Dynamic.
Like the competition aspect. That's what they're saying, that like when you put this group of people together, women, when they feel that they're being competed against, immediately drop scale. And that's why I've always said, and it's like almost your friend who's doing this homeschooling
thing. This is why women
thing.
Should be running the world, because we're more interested in coagulating in a group than competing and beating a group.
Yes, because women, and here we are, the nature versus nurture thing. Women who go to all-girls schools tend to test better. There's certain social learning that obviously
they're... I wonder if it would be the same for lesbians. I really do. I wonder how much, because we're talking about men and women, and we're talking about groups, and we're talking about how we fit in with one another, and what the tendency team seems to be between men and between women. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the physiology of men and women, or how much of it has to do with the sexuality that comes into play there.
I don't
know.
Because
if women are in a room full of other women, they might feel competitive if there was a reason to be, or they might feel they'd rather... Like, I'm a little torn on this. I would like to see this study redone with straight women versus gay women in the same situations.
Yeah, I could see that. But I just, to me, it's sort of, it plays into what I've always believed is that, you know, I wanted to go to an all-girls school.
Of course you did. For many reasons.
But they have said that girls do better when they're with other women, because they're all of those other, now that's, you
yeah,
can
what's
argue.
What's your experience of that?
My mom went to all-girls schools her whole life.
Yeah.
So I think I got the, you're definitely not going to all-girls schools. This is awful. I certainly think that there's a camaraderie that she had with a lot of the girls she went to high school and college with. Because she went to all-girls college, too, back when you could do that. That I think that you didn't get in being in a mixed school. And I think that's actually kind of cool. Because I do think that sort of... Well, except for gay girls, the dating aspect is kind of taken out of it. So
Right. You're
not always like, I'm going to push my friend to the side to impress this
except
boy.
Except for the gay girls who are walking through the girls' school going, this is like Right. Being a mouse in a cheese factory.
Who I would imagine when my mother went to school were probably, you know, not as out and open as they
Right. Are
now.
Right.
Yeah.
In the 50s. Probably they were hidden somewhere.
Sure.
There's obviously social learning that you're going to miss out on by going to an all-girls school. But I'm just saying that, like, the benefits of... it's been proven now that girls, when faced with a competitive intellectual environment, tend to shrink a little bit.
Sure.
So
that's really interesting.
I think a lot of that is how mothers raise daughters. You know,
Yeah. My
mom didn't raise me like that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think like that.
Yeah.
She never once told me, you can't because you're a girl, or, well, you'll just grow up and get married. I mean, she never told me any of that.
See, the sexuality piece comes into this for me, too, because as a gay woman... Emotionally, you know, we say things like, oh, he thinks like a man, or she thinks like a man, or he thinks like a girl, or he's like, you know, that's really boiling something down to a very broad stroke. But in a lot of ways, I'm a typical girl. You know, emotionally, I want to be handled that way. I want to
no
have those
kidding.
Conversations. I like to process.
Right.
And then
we all know this
ways,
about you.
And then in other ways, in logical sort of ways of dealing with the world, I'm more like a guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to stab you in the... But see, this is where I come in with, like, women being competitive. Women will stab each other in the back, but
Oh, yeah. They
do it covertly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll do it covertly. They'll do it when the other woman that they're stabbing is not in the room.
Yeah. Just like you wake up one morning and you're in a bathtub and your kidney's gone. And your girlfriend never calls you again. I haven't talked to her in ages. Where is my kidney?
I thought she liked
But, you know,
me.
That's another thing that I think we don't think about is a lot of people, just because you're... And this is a whole other topic, but just because you're anatomically male or female... doesn't mean that you're intellectually, emotionally, or your spirit is male or female.
Right.
And I, like you, Kathy, I'm very emotionally female and very intellectually male.
Right.
And some people are completely the opposite. So when it comes to, like, drama and freaking out about everything, I'm like, I don't get what everybody's problem is.
Right.
But then when it comes to emotional stuff, I'm very, very soft. And
yeah.
I think some people are the complete opposite.
Yeah, that is true. I'm like a guy.
You're like a guy emotionally. But
yeah.
Honey,
but are you more like a girl intellectually, do you think? Do you think more like a girl and feel more like a guy?
Yes. I would say so.
Yeah,
I don't know intellectually for sure, but I know emotionally I'm more designed the way a man's emotional makeup is. Like, I don't want to process endlessly. I want to fix it and move on. I'm a fixer.
Well, nobody wants to process endlessly.
Oh, I'm kind of like that, too, but I thought that was my intellectualism. I definitely don't want to process endlessly.
Yeah.
But I'm also from the Northeast and raised by a no-drama Irish woman.
Right.
So, you know, are you over it yet? Get over it and move on.
Exactly. I was
Have your cry, and then you're done.
Completely. Yeah. I was raised in a 100% Italian family.
Right, so the crying is still going on from 30 years ago.
But here's the thing. They do it. They get it. It's really just an honesty of expression of emotion, and then it's over.
Right.
You know, like, you know, there's no endless processing. My mom is the same way. Like, you say it, you get it over with, and then it's done.
Right.
And I think that's been really, really helpful. But, honey, I'm gonna just throw out there that your emotional world that you say you're very much like a guy, I think the way you tolerate your emotions is very much like a guy. I think that has had a lot to do with the way you've built your defenses in the world. Because when you get down to it, my girl's a little softy underneath it.
I am. I didn't say I was a softy.
She makes me dig. But it's there.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, come on.
I suddenly feel like your counselor.
I'm just teasing.
Now, ladies.
Sheena, fix it. Fix it.
Wow.
All right, let's take a little break, you guys. Thank you for being here. You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. I'm psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. We're here with guest, the wonderful and talented Sheena Metal, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
I talk too little and I talk too much. I never do the things that make you want me enough. Kiss and we tell, shout it out loud. I want to be a girl that can make you proud. Personal revolution. I wish it was easy like a sweet summer dance. I follow your lead, you put me under your trance. We push and we pull, trying to find control. Falling 6 feet under a rotten hole.
Welcome back, everyone, to Kathy Is In. This is Kathy DeBono. I am your host. I'm here today with my guest, radio host, and everything else extraordinaire, Sheena Metal.
Hi.
So during the break, Sheena was telling me that she's, you're shooting it or you just finished shooting it?
No, it's done. It's in the can and it's off to the wonderful people that sell things.
A paranormal documentary?
No, it's a reality pilot.
I did a
documentary feature I produced.
Right.
And then it's kind of a cute story. Two friends of mine who met on a TV show. For the last 3 or 4 years, they've kind of been touring comics together. She opens up for him when they go on the road. And so to save money, they stay in hotels together. but she believes in everything paranormal and he believes in nothing. So they spend half the time driving from gig to gig fighting about, but didn't you feel that? No, I didn't. But didn't you see that? No, I didn't. So they pitch an idea for a television show, which is basically that. They go into a place, he gathers stuff, she gathers stuff, and then they try to convince each other at the end. And so they brought me in to be sort of the paranormal investigator because
I love that.
That's
so you're
hats.
There with your...
That's my spooky hat.
That's one of my favorite hats.
That's
that
one
you
of my
your
hats.
Spooky
that's
hat.
My scary, scary
So you go
hat.
In with your equipment and your...
Right. And then
your
they
divining
have,
rod, right. And you seek out the ghosts.
Right. We went to a house in the San Fernando Valley that friends of theirs owned. And there's one room in the house that's so creepy that they won't even go in it, but now they want to make it the nursery for their unborn child. Don't
really
get me started on that.
That's very interesting.
So they wanted us to go in, see what was in the room, and kind of clean it out.
They're like, listen, we'll put the baby in there as an offering.
Yeah, really, don't.
If something's going to happen, we'll know.
Don't put your baby in any room you have any questions about.
Right, right.
Really, an unborn child. Put
sure.
the baby in your room.
Sure.
Seriously?
The baby comes speaking in tongues.
Exactly. Why is the baby glowing green? We shouldn't have put it in that room that we wouldn't go in for 10 years.
Look, the baby can fly.
So that's kind of what we did. And it was really interesting, really fun.
So was this a presentation for you're going to try and sell this? Or
right.
Is
they cut a pilot together. A production company sent them out to do it. They're kind of a big production company, but they do a lot of big fancy reality shows, but they don't have any paranormal.
Right. What's this one called?
The show?
Yeah.
It's called He Saw, She Saw.
I like it. That's good.
Oh, that's good.
He Saw, She
and,
Saw. That's cool.
And so it was really fun. And it's fun to work with, well, one of my best friends. And now I've met, now the other guy's become a good friend. And it's just the three of us. And it was just a really
Isn't
fun
great?
Experience.
I really, really dig independent projects. I really do. You can pick who you're going to work with. You got to wear a lot of the hats yourself.
Right.
Which can be fun, but can also be really stressful. But what I really like about it is you're in the driver's seat with you and the people you pick.
Well, and they're ballsy, you know. They went and, can I say ballsy at noon?
Sure.
I'm not usually on this early. They went right in and pitched this giant production company and got the okay to do this. I mean, just to go in and cold pitch an idea.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
That's amazing.
So I want to back up a second, and I still haven't seen it, and I was texting you yesterday. I really want to see it. Sheena produced a documentary a couple of years ago, a paranormal documentary. Can you tell us a bit about that and where people can find it? Because I know people want to see this.
It's called Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. I work for a record label that's based out of the Tacoma, Seattle area, and I run their L.A. office down here as their A&R head. And a couple of people that were on the label were married. They had a baby, and they were basically living on a houseboat and touring. And then she got the idea that that wasn't really a healthy atmosphere for a baby, and they needed to sort of get a day job. So they bought a terrifying old dilapidated house in Kalama, Washington, which is the town they shot Twilight in. So it's all kind of wooded and creepy and scary and on the Columbia River, which I think
werewolves
has more deaths in the Columbia River than any river in the United States. I mean, it's like a death trap. And they couldn't figure out why they got it for a song. And basically it was because it was the evil haunted house in the town nobody wanted.
Wow.
And then it turned out to be the evil haunted house in the town. And after we shot the documentary, they wound up leaving the house and letting the bank take it. And then they got divorced and never
spoke
to each other
again. Did you really catch some like crazy stuff when you were shooting?
Yeah, there was some really awful stuff in that house.
Wow, really?
It was an awful, awful, awful house with an awful history. It was a place where like tens of thousands of Native Americans died in a flu outbreak.
Wow.
It's right on the Columbia. An offshoot of the Columbia actually shoots down a stream behind the house, and there's a running stream in the basement. And water is
a huge
paranormal
conduit.
There's literally running water in the basement, and nobody ever finished the basement. And it was a brothel, and it was an illegal abortion place, and it's just an awful, awful house.
Yeah.
So it was, I feel sorry for them because it tore their lives apart. But
So where can we find this movie?
It's at MontgomeryHouseHaunting.com.
MontgomeryHouseHaunting.com.
Right.
And if you're looking for more information about Sheena Metal, it's at Sheena-Metal.com?
No, Sheena-Metal.com.
Sheena-Metal.
Sheena-Metal will take you there, too.
I see.
Or Sheena Metal Experience, which is my daily talk radio show.
Yeah, Sheena's got a show here on LA Talk Radio called the Sheena Metal Experience. It's every weekday at 5.
And you are both going to be on today.
And we're going to be on
today.
We'll
be on later. We're going to do this all day.
Nice.
All
Radio
day
marathon,
long.
People.
I just want to thank my sponsor, Blagospot.com, the fabulous translation company. Go to Blagospot.com if you need something translated from one language to another. I also want to thank WeHaveToStopNow.tv, the romantic dramedy that is our other sponsor. We have a personal stake in that one.
Yes, we do.
So thank you for being here today. Listen, next week, you guys, I have Danielle McKinnon coming back, animal intuitive, psychic animal communicator, Danielle McKinnon. We had her on last month, and we worked her to the bone.
And we're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again. She's coming back on January 31st, which is next Tuesday. Please be here for that. Get your dialing finger ready if you want to call in and have Danielle tell you what your pets are thinking.
Yeah, she can actually tell you what your pets are thinking.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
It's fun.
Yeah, you want to know what your cats are thinking and your dogs?
I don't know. Sometimes our projections on our animals are just more fun. But no, I'm kidding. Of course I do. Of course I want to know. I want to know what they want to eat. I want to know all that good stuff. So Danielle McKinnon next week, you guys, Tuesday the 31st. Thank you for being here. If you are listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye for now. But please come back and listen to the show in the archives because the five-minute feature will be there later. If you're listening on Transformation Talk Radio or WBLQ 1230 AM Rhode Island, stay tuned for the Kathy is In five-minute feature. Right now, I'll say goodbye.
You're listening to Kathy is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information...
And now, the Kathy is In five-minute feature.
Comedian Aaron Foley.
I always have, like, really awkward moments at the gym. I went to use the bike at the gym, and, of course, there's a stunning fempot on the bike next to me. And I go to use a bike, and I try to put my feet in the little buckles, and I have size 11 wide. I don't want to brag. But I couldn't get my feet in the straps, so I had to undo the buckles and the straps, which is hot. It's hot. And then I had to get back on the bike, and then I look over, and she's in this, like, you know, stunning little track suit with her little iPod Nano. And I dropped down the largest CD Walkman ever built. Was erected in some 86 or something like that. I basically brought a Victrola to the gym. I was like, do you guys have some extension cords or a three-prong adapter? A little piece we can put the 45s on? No? And of course I look over and she's doing a little shuffle feature. I'm like, oh, that's a fun feature. Yeah, I like to take the needle and just jump ahead three songs. Although when you're knee-deep in a bookstore and you start really looking around at all the titles, there's, like, a lot of depressing books out there, people. Like, books on wars and plagues and poverty. Then I discovered the most depressing book of all time. It's actually in the cooking section. It's called Vegan Cooking for One. That is depressing. No meat, no fish, no dairy, no friends. Screw it, throw in the towel! Depressing. In the back of the book, it's like, if you love Vegan Cooking for One, you'll love The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath. I do a lot of traveling for comedy, and I was recently in Mississippi, and I discovered my favorite new road sign is in Mississippi. Huge billboard on the side of the road that reads, "Remember, statutory rape is a crime." Remember? Usually it's like speed limit, you know, falling rock zone, but apparently in Mississippi, they need some reminders of other behavior. You guys just see that dirty old man driving down the road, you know, and he sees the billboard and he's like, oh, hell no. Get out. Here's the thing with the morning after pill, okay? I feel like it hasn't been passed in most states for over-the-counter distribution. This is the new hot topic. Because the pill is called Plan B. I think it's too nonchalant, too carefree for a lot of people. Like, clearly Plan A didn't work. Although it's better than calling the pill Whoops. Problem. I feel like the only way it's going to get passed is to really appease the more conservative nature of our country, right? By renaming the pill, I am a sinner and a whore. Right? Come on. I mean, it's a nice amount of regret and religion and humiliation rolled into one. That's all I'm saying. And that would make me want to work at CVS just for those moments. When the couple comes in and they're like, I'm going to need a package of, I am a sinner and a whore. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm a sinner and a whore. for that's $24.99. Seems like a steal, huh? We're thinking about clothing and a college education. Anyway, if that doesn't work out, we have diapers on sale now, too. So either way, you win. Got you covered. Do you ever go to, like, kind of a fancy shishi restaurant, and you go to use the bathroom, and they remove the men's and women's signs off the bathroom doors, and they put up crazy caricatures, so no freaking clue what door to go into. It's always such an embarrassing moment. I went to a seafood restaurant. I go to use the bathroom, and there's a picture of an anchor and a buoy. I'm like, where am I going?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.
Thank you.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.